Hi, this is Mark Wade, writer of Daredevil, and you're listening to Longbox Heroes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 316 of Longbox Heroes. I'm Todd, joined with Joe. How are we doing today, Joe?
316?
That's right.
Oh, man, when you hear the glass, it's your, you know what.
I know. I feel like I want to throw, I want you to throw me cans of stuff so I can catch them with precision.
On my left, on my last day somewhere. One of the guys, there was a bunch of like concessions left over, and it was a bunch of bottles of water.
Uh-huh.
One of the guys was tossing me like stone cold.
Oh,
and
boy.
He's like, here's your severance.
Oh my god. Wasn't he a wrestler, Dr. Death? Dan Severance?
No. That's the Beast, Dan Severance. You're mixing it up.
Oh. All right, the Beast, Dan Severance, the wrestler. Okay.
Shout out to the Beast. I heard recently that he fell ill recently. I haven't heard any confirmation of that other than my brother told me.
Hank McCoy?
No.
Oh, okay.
So Todd, what do we got on the show today?
The new title that spins out of Darth Vader being canceled. Once again, territories messing up cons everywhere. And also a new comic book contest. I wish they had more of those, to tell you the truth. I miss comic
book contests. A follow-up to last week's story. We got a little bit more information.
Mm-hmm. Con news. Free digital books and sales.
Yes.
What we read last week, I think we both read two of the books, and you read Clone Conspiracy all on your lonesome.
I did.
What we're looking forward to this week, we're going to glance over the pigskin skin pick'ems because I did terrible, and the question of the week is the best spy or slash espionage, according to my notes.
Yes.
And at the end of the show, we have spoilery Flash and Legends of Tomorrow talk.
That is correct. We're in the throngs of TV season, and then doesn't Walking Dead start this weekend?
I don't know. I think they have a super-duper episode with a bunch of cast members, and I don't know if it's just like Talking Dead getting ready, or it's like an hour and a half after the first episode. So I'm not 100. Is it the 23rd this week?
It is.
No. It is?
Yeah.
No, the 23rd. Oh, well, then maybe it is this weekend.
I'm almost certain that it's this weekend.
Oh, good. Walking Dead comes back, so we'll have three shows, and I'm watching a ton of other stuff. Westworld, Arrow, I know you're not watching it, so I'm going to be just engrossed in TV.
I've been watching all of these alone. The decision has been made. I'm not waiting for people who enjoy sleep better than watching TV.
Oh, my God. But you don't sleep, so.
No. I enjoy sleep. I just can't.
I know what you mean.
It's a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
So let's dive into the news, and let's just kind of start with the one that's a follow-up from last week, and that's the contest that Valiant is having with a bunch of participating retailers. Sadly, ours is not. I'm interested to see how one of these retailers became a participating retailer.
They don't have the information there?
Yeah. No, it just says, hey, is your retailer on this map? And then it's like, hey, if your retailer's on this map, go subscribe to Harbinger Renegades, which comes out in November. Take a picture of yourself and your local retailer, adding it to your pull list.
Then put
that picture on Instagram, tagging Valiant and the hashtag WinHarbinger.
Okay, timeout.
Go ahead. There's more.
There's more to do?
Yeah. There's. Oh, my God.
Go ahead. Go with the rest. I'm sorry. I thought that was it.
Then you have to post a photo of yourself with the issue when it comes out on the release day with the same at Valiant Entertainment and hashtag.
You know what? I don't need Valiant Comics that bad. I really don't. You know what? I don't need them free. I'll just buy them as is, and I'm good. And where is my Quantum and Woody in all this?
Quantum and Woody not on the list of books that you get.
Ugh. It's because it doesn't come out.
But five winners will be picked at random. They'll be notified via their Instagram. And then they will get a copy of their of Valiant Monthly Comics for a year directly from their local shop at a $400 value. Which I don't think the math on that works out to be correct, but whatever.
Well, you know what would be cool is if I won, I would make them jump through hoops to give me the prize. It would be like, all right, now I want the guy who created this contest to take a picture on his Instagram holding my, you know, that I'm the winning person. And then he has to take a picture of him mailing it out and put it on Instagram.
And I want it sent certified mail.
Oh, yeah, because you've got to be careful because they'll rip up your mail, this U.S. Post Office.
I heard on another podcast that comes out in like 2 or 3 days that they do that to your mail.
They do. It's true.
A big condemnation of the Postal Service and a big putting over of one of our greatest athletes on this week's 100th episode of After Dark. There's a mid-show plug fit in seamlessly.
Ugh.
So again, I Valiant's heart is in the right place on this, but it just seems like it's a lot of hoops to jump through.
It is, but for a $400 prize, it's not that much. I've done more for less.
Right. I can only imagine the things a hustler like you have done for less.
Oh my God. Stop grilling me.
All right. So one of the other news stories, and this is one of those stories that broke like right after our show went live last week.
Mm-hmm.
It has been announced that this past year at Baltimore Comic Con would be the last year that the Harvey Awards would be held at Baltimore Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
It appears as though Reed Pop, the company that does New York Comic Con, amongst others, I guess are now in bed with the Harveys?
I guess it bought them or something. I don't know.
Or something, or paid for the rights to them, or so on and mm-hmm. so forth. Now, we talk on the show all the time how all this stuff with the conventions is like the territories in professional wrestling back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. The provinces.
The provinces. And once Baltimore falls, that's when it's over. You know, mm-hmm. Baltimore's like, you know, pick your poison. Is it the Jim Crockett territory? Is it Mid-South? Is it Texas? You know, is it Portland? Take your pick. I don't think, and ironically, the original WWF offices were in Baltimore before they moved them up to Stamford, Connecticut.
Okay.
But this is a huge blow, I think. This is, you know... This is huge.
I don't think so. I think creators go to the Baltimore Comic Con just to go to the Baltimore. Now, okay, let me backtrack a second. If Reed Pop makes the Harveys happen at the same weekend as Baltimore, then they have problems. But if they don't, I think creators like going to a con that is, for the same reason we like going to the Baltimore Con, is because it's focused on the creators with a few media guests. You got to bring some people through the doors. But it does. It makes them more money. It makes, you know, they like it. So I think they're not going to leave in droves, but I don't think it's going to hurt so much as now more creators will be drinking on their own dime than... than in the ballroom at the Grand Hotel.
Well, it's okay. So I'm not so much as saying that this is like a big shot, like it's going to affect attendance at Baltimore Comic Con, or certain creators are no longer going to book themselves there in that territory, if you will.
Book them.
But wow. What I'm saying is, if we can't have Baltimore, we'll just take Baltimore in pieces.
So you're just going to grind it down. Is
yes.
What you're I think there's a gap to be filled, and I think the first annual Long Box Heroes Awards.
Oh, boy.
Right? Hear me out, Joe. Hear me out. Now, the Harveys and the Eisner's esteemed awards, blah, 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 blah. Let's let the Long Box Heroes be the People Choice Awards.
I'm okay with this.
Yeah, remember how Wizard had it back in the day?
Yes.
That's what we do. We steal that gimmick and... we pitch that to Baltimore, and we go, we MC the show, we record it. I don't see how this can fail one bit.
Okay. Whilst not as good as Brian of some of the other shows on the network's idea that we should get sponsorship by Sharpie,
mm-hmm.
While not the worst idea you've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if during the next couple days I start bouncing a draft of an email off you.
What? Okay.
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 Again, not the worst idea in the world, but this is something that could be absolutely done.
Right. And for the listeners, what Joe means by bounce an email off me is send me an email and I go, yeah, whatever. Is that not really? Okay. Occasionally I'll go, maybe you should add this, but otherwise, and you just send it out of common courtesy at this point.
Well, listen, first of all, you usually tell me not to use as many expletives as I normally use.
That's true. That is true.
Secondly, your name is attached to this show just as much, if not more, than mine. Since I'm now only 2 weeks into using my actual name.
Oh, that is true. I have the roots with the name of the show. But you don't know how dirty the Roker name is in my area that I live in?
Well, we're going to find out.
Oh, okay. I don't need that stuff coming out, Joe.
And I'm dead serious. If I send it to Baltimore and don't get a response, let's see who else wants it.
Oh, boy. Woo! Charlotte. Charlotte. That's number two on the list.
And then, I think, is C2E2 Reed Pop?
I think it might be, but I would have to do, I'm confused on the con tree. This is a free con tree, but I don't know who owns what anymore.
I'm going to check.
If not Dragon Con, man. I hear that place is wild.
Maybe we can have it at Floating World.
I don't know what that is, but...
Write it down. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
So... Oh, boy.
Should we edit all that out so nobody steals the idea?
Let them steal it.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So Reed Pop's got a bunch of stuff, like, overseas, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've got, like, Australia, Paris, Mumbai, Indonesia... Shanghai. Now, they also have, New York Comic Con, of course. They also have PAX. Are you aware of PAX?
No, I'm not. Isn't that? No, I don't know what PAX is.
It's like Penny Arcade Expo.
Okay, you know what? Now that you've said it, I've heard of it.
Yes.
It's kind of like the Southwest. What's the other one? Something, something.
South by Southwest.
Yeah, that I've heard of. I really don't know what it is, but yeah.
They now have the Star Wars celebration.
Mm-hmm.
As well as starting up a Star Trek mission anniversary thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have C2E2 as well as Emerald City Comic Con. And I didn't know they had Emerald City Comic Con. That's pretty big.
I was going to say, because I hear that show's getting bigger and bigger every year.
Uh-huh.
So
it looks like it's Baltimore and Charlotte are the last two.
You know what? Send two.
Yep.
And you know what? We could pit them against each other.
Get them in a bidding war?
Oh, my goodness. I'll give you... I can only imagine what they would offer this mega show that we have here.
Oh, boy. Well, the rest of the stuff, the other serious stuff, we'll discuss maybe off-air or something. But, yeah, so the People's Choice Awards. We are the People's Podcast. We are the People's Champions.
Mm-hmm.
We should have the People's Award.
I agree. We'll come up with some cool names and stuff, some great categories, new and different categories. We'll be like, what was the awards on remember when the Manly Channel they had there for a while?
Spike TV?
Spike TV. Remember they had the Spike Awards for horror?
Yeah, yeah. And this then they had they had the Man Awards where you got like a set of antlers or some nonsense.
Yeah, this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about.
All right. This is really, okay. Is this going to actually happen? Highly unlikely.
Will
Am I
you
going
send
to draft an email and send it to both Charlotte and Baltimore? Absolutely.
I know you will.
Yes.
You get things done. I come up with ideas, and you execute them like an assassin.
Like our steak and steak dinner.
Hey, that's a little different. We still got to get around to that.
All right.
Now that you have more time on your hands, I don't see why we don't.
Touché. So, the last bit of news is, as Todd mentioned, the, I guess, natural extension from the Darth Vader comic book, which is launching in December, which is the Dr. Aphra book, also written by Kieran Gillen, with art by Kev Walker, taking, I guess the big deal that everyone's kind of in a tizzy about, in a good way, of course, is this is the first time since, you know, Disney has purchased the Lucasfilm and Marvel and all that sort of jazz, that characters created solely in the comic book are getting their own series.
Is that true?
Yes.
Wasn't there a prequel comic like that with a character that was all new? Or was he from the movies?
It was the main gist of that book was around, like, Return of the, like, it was post-Return of the Jedi, but pro-Force Awakens. And
no, like, not that one. Remember, right, there was a
miniseries I called, like, The Force Awakens, you know, Road
no,
to Something.
No, no, no. There was a Padawan book for the prequels.
I think that was not characters created for the comic books. I think those were characters that were in the cartoons.
That might be it. Okay, I thought they were all new. But I see what you're saying. Dr. Aphra is all new. I thought, because I didn't read those ones, I didn't read or watch any of the cartoons or would remember them even if they were in the prequel.
So. Right. But, of course, it's her, it's 000, it's BT-8. You know, we postulated that we were hoping that it would just be a BT-8 and 000 book. I'm okay with Dr. Aphra hanging around. She's okay, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the Darth Vader book was good, and we'll talk about the last issue of that a little bit later on. But, yeah, I'm happy that this book is happening.
Me too. Like you said, I'm a huge fan of... what's the two robots' names you just said?
000 and BT-8.
Yeah, can you tell how huge of a fan I am? Oh, but yeah, they're absolutely fantastic. They are the evil comedy reverse R2-D2 and C-3PO, and it's fantastic every time they show up.
And it looks like that evil Wookiee bounty hunter might be part of the little crew as well.
Oh my goodness, it just keeps getting better.
It does. So, yeah, this book immediately, like, when this was solicited as Star Wars Classified, it was just like, it was put on the list as Dr. Aphra question mark.
Could have been any character. Could have been Nian Numb, for all we knew.
Oh, boy. As long as it wasn't, I'm trying to think of a real good fourth-rate prequel character.
Oh, if anybody's getting a comic book out of the prequels, it's either the floating stereotype guy, any build me a thingy, or the cafe.
I mean, I have no idea who you're talking about.
Or the diner owner. Those are the two characters who get prequel comics.
The the most racist characters of them all.
Mm-hmm. No, come on. The people who were the Japanese conclave racist thing are probably the worst. What about Jar Jar?
See, my money would have been on a Plo Koon book.
Oh, my goodness. I think we should get the prequel where Jar Jar is the Sith with that whole...
Where's my Star Wars What If books?
Oh, you know what? Fire off an email to Marvel. What If books. That would be... What if Luke joined Darth and threw the Emperor down the thing? That's actually... one of the most brilliant ideas you've ever had. That's Todd level idea right there, Joe.
What if Chewbacca was really Luke's father?
Oh my goodness.
See, that's the sort of stuff. That's the sort of outside of the box thinking that I'm talking about.
I would read a What If Star Wars book.
Again, not the worst idea in the world, Todd.
We've had some doozies, but that's pretty good.
I'm going to email Marvel. Hey, what if you guys did a What If Star Wars book? Go ahead and put your best people on that and just send me a check.
Yeah. Write in whatever you think is fair.
Right. And leave a couple spaces so I could put as many zeros after as I'd like.
Three. Hey, just like the robot.
Right. 000, right?
Yeah, put 000s on the end.
Yeah, and I'll put the number in the front I want.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. So there's a bunch of conventions happening this weekend, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
More than I care to admit, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, at the very least, not counting like your normal non-celebrity laden ones.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the biggies that are going on this weekend is the Grand Rapids Comic Con in Grand Rapids, Michigan. That's You know, kind of a little bit more your comic book centric one. Kevin Eastman, Jay Lee, Steve Lieber are going to be there. Then there's one in McClellan, California called SACCON.
Mm.
Ron Lim and Mike Grell are going to be there.
So far, everybody I want to get a sketch off of.
Okay. Then there is the Cosmic Con in Colorado Springs. A little bit more wrestling folks, your Sergeant Slaughters and Greg the Hammer Valentines.
I know those two names.
Yes. Santa Fe Comic Book Convention, Kevin Sorbo, Dean Kane, and last week mentioned Sam Jones.
Ah, the Flash. Ah, saved every one of us.
Wizard World is in Tulsa, Oklahoma this weekend with Bill Shatner at the top of the billing, right underneath Finn Balor and Becky Lynch.
Ah, the Demon King.
Right.
Should I say that 19 times to get it through?
No, just bring him Legos and he'll be happy.
Okay, is that true?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a YouTube video or Instagram video or Vine or something like that. After he got his shoulder surgery, mm-hmm. and they told him how long it would be until he would be able to wrestle again, he asked them in all seriousness, "How soon can I play with my Legos?"
Oh, boy.
Grown man, people. That's all. But the big one this weekend is the Super Mega Fest in Marlboro, Mass. Maybe I'll add them to the list.
Oh, maybe they'll pay us in smokes.
Yes. Now, that'd be if it was in North Carolina or something, right?
Oh, I don't know. Wherever I figure it was the Marlboro where they make the cigarettes.
But this is a more media centric one, of course. Meatloaf is going to be there.
Oh, I've been told I look like Meatloaf, but anyway.
Now or then, I don't think either one is good.
Oh, boy.
If you look like Meatloaf when he was Eddie in Rocky Horror Picture Show, I think you're okay.
I've been told I look like a guy who reads comics.
Oh, man. Were you reading a comic at the time?
No, I was just sitting playing on my phone. Guy walked in. He was like, "Hey, I'm looking for this. I'm looking for that." Now you look like a guy who reads comics.
Were you in a comic book store?
Yes. But it was like, come on. Like, really? Just like the excitement. Like, he was like, I found one. I guess. I don't know.
Oh,
I'm like comic book reader go or something like that.
So other people at this would be, on the wrestling side of things, the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, Jimmy J.J. Walker,
Dynamite,
mm-hmm. Richard Grieco.
I have nothing for him.
And don't be like power listener of the show, Dave Puente, who passed up the opportunity to get the double mark photo with Ralph Macchio and William Zabka, because they're going to be there together.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I would get that picture.
Yes, I would. Absolutely. Come on, it's the guys from The Karate Kid.
Now, is it the actor or the editor slash writer from Marvel?
Ralph no, Mark? it's you know, the guy who was also in, like, Crossroads and The Outsiders and Artie Lang Tierney and stuff like that.
They got confused years ago.
Yeah.
Remember?
But I'm saving the guest of honor for last, Todd.
The money actor?
Richard Dean Anderson is the guest of honor at this convention.
And not a guy in a Richard Dean Anderson mask?
I can't answer that question for sure, Todd.
Okay.
If only we knew someone who was going to that convention and could check for us.
And I wonder how he feels about the new MacGyver show.
Oh, my goodness.
It just got a full season order.
I'm sure no one will ask. Are you watching the MacGyver show?
I'm waiting for the whole season because I didn't want to be sad if they canceled it.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't get the full MacGyverisms.
You didn't want to have your heart broken?
No, who would?
Right. So all those conventions, and I would be remiss not to mention, since I was asked to, that TFCon is happening in what they claim is Chicago, but it's really Rosemont, Illinois, outside of Chicago. It is the big Transformers convention for the year.
They have one of those?
They have multiple Transformer conventions. This is the biggie. They have a bunch of the voice actors from the Beast Wars show. The guy who did the voice of Grimlock is going to be there.
Me Grimlock kick butt.
Yeah, Greg Berger, and that's Greg with two G's at the end. So think of that when you will.
It's the second G that makes him evil, just like the second D in Todd.
Yeah. All sorts of other people, of course, and like there's tons and tons of exclusive Transformers that you could only get there. So if you are a Transformer type person, this is the place to be this weekend.
Let's go. Maybe we should send the email there too.
No, we don't. I don't want to. I'll send it for someone else, not for me.
The Doctor Who cons. That's where you want to send it to.
I'll send you the Doctor Who con if you never come back. So I mentioned that only because Jason Kirk of Podvocacy asked me to mention that. Podvocacy was back this week, just kind of with a short shrift episode. David has lost his voice from all of his spam-allotting over the last several weeks. But they've threatened to return with full force next week with such lies that Gotham is better than the Flash TV show.
Oh, my goodness. write something. I'm writing that down. We got to talk about something after the show.
Well, hang on. I'll throw one more on the pile on that one. Jason Kirk also said that Gotham is doing the Tim Burton Batman better than the Tim Burton Batman films.
Okay, stuff to talk about.
All right. Now, I don't watch those shows, and I have a special place in my heart for the Tim Burton Batman films, as I saw them when I was like 12 to 14 years old, so I was very impressionable at that time. I have a sinking feeling that they may not hold up under closer scrutiny as a near 40-year-old man who's bitter and hates everything.
The first one does. The second one, no. I love the first Burton Batman movie.
Okay. I haven't seen it in a very long time.
That's another thing we have to discuss.
Okay. So you're writing all this stuff down. But Podvocacy is back, of course, as part of the soon-to-be-named network. I know the last 2 weeks, Profane Argument has been doing a live stream on Tuesday night, and then their episode goes up later on Wednesday. Definitely be checking those out in this hotly contested election season. They're delving deep into that sort of stuff, as is Prodigal Son's podcast from a little bit less of a serious side of things than Profane Arguments does. Puzzle Warrior 3, of course, hot and heavy with all the crazy changes that are going on in the world of Marvel Puzzle Quest. And our latest edition, Talking Gimmicks. If you like wrestling as much as I do, and I know everyone listening to the show does, they do a YouTube show. I know they're looking to get a separate RSS feed for us, just audio-type people. But this past week, they discussed such illustrious moments in the world of wrestling as the debut of the Shockmaster, the 12 Large Summit in Chikara from a few years back, amongst many other things.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime a new episode of any of these shows goes live, be sure to check out soontobenamednetwork.com, soontobenamednetwork.tumblr.com. Okay. And, of course, all the links to these show notes will be, or these conventions that I mentioned before, will be in the show notes, as well as the information about the digital sales going on currently. Titan is having a bunch of their horror-themed books, and I'm sure over the next several weeks we'll be seeing a lot of horror-related sales going on from various publishers. Marvel is having a sale on the Amazing Spider-Man Masterwork, kind of retouched, redone-up versions of those original Lee and Ditko Amazing Spider-Man books from the 60s, and DC is having a sale on Wonder Woman books, and it is a giant heap of Wonder Woman stuff. You want Wonder Woman stuff from the 40s, they got it. You want Wonder Woman stuff from the 80s, they got that too. You want Wonder Woman stuff from the mid to late 2000s, pre-New 52, they're going to give that to you. You want the whole New 52 run, they got it all there too. And a bunch of other various things. So if you like Wonder Woman, all of it is on sale digitally this week.
It's a pretty good deal.
It's a fantastic deal. So I've talked for a while, Todd. Where would you like to dive in with what we read from this past week?
Let's start with, as we talked about in the news, Dr. Aphra and Darth Vader number 25, the ending to the series by Kieran Gillian and... The artist is escaping me right now.
Salvador La Roca and Max Fiormia.
That's right. Because there was codas on the book. But basically, this is the final showdown between Darth Vader and Silo, I guess is the way you say the name.
No relation to Silo Ren?
I don't know.
I'm going to say no.
It might be. You never know. But basically, this is, you know, their last battle, and then the ramifications of everything that Darth Vader has been doing. Maybe the Emperor knows about it, and the way he handles like loose ends with Dr. Aphra, which spins out of the sequel to this. I was actually sad because when they announced the Dr. Aphra ongoing afterwards, it kind of spoiled, because I hadn't read the book yet, that, you know, certain things happen in this book that you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen to her? And you're like, I think she's going to be fine because she's getting a sequel. But once again, Darth Vader is just one tough SOB in this, and I love the character. And I'm actually really sad to see this go, but in the end, what I love about this book is it's 25 issues, same writer, same artist. This is great for like non-comic book readers. You know, there's no differences in art or anything that's going to shake them up. One solid run that is going to sell very well, very, very well for years to come.
Yes, not with the same gravitas as a DC or Vertigo Sandman type series, but this is a very good run of a book, a very good-looking run of a book, and it's arguably the most popular character in all of Star Wars as the lead.
It probably is, and like you said, not the gravitas of a Sandman or anything like that, but because it is in mainstream, like, you know, outside of pop culture comics, it is one of the biggest things ever, so it gets that bump, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, this is huge to me. I think this is like when Marvel said they were getting the Star Wars books, they did everything right on this, with the Star Wars book and the Darth Vader. So I have faith in everything they do. And just about every mini has been good or great. So like they've been putting out quality books. Marvel knows what they're doing.
Right.
Disney knows what they're doing, actually.
So my only concern about this book was, this issue, for being the finale, I guess, felt a little light.
Anticlimactic, maybe?
I don't want to say anticlimactic. It was a big book, of course, because, you know, you had all sorts of, like, little other tales being told, the story about the Sand People and all that sort of stuff. But the main story itself felt very quick.
True.
Yeah. But it was good. You know, kind of putting us right in line with, you know, Vader doing good by the Emperor, you know, at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And getting a little bit more stuff to spin into the next series, which is exactly what this book should have been. Like I said, it just felt a quicker read than a finale as thick as this book was, should have been.
Mm-hmm.
With a $6 price tag.
Okay, with the $6 price tag, I'll give you that, right. But I don't know. It just seemed like, you know, a good ending to mm-hmm. me. But.
And it was late.
What? And you love late books.
I do. Oh, man. So, one of the other books that we both read from this past week was Kill or Be Killed number 3 by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. The continuation of this, a young man is given a new lease on life. Possibly by a demonic presence, and all he has to do is kill one person a month, essentially.
And doesn't have to be a bad person, or does it just have to be anybody?
Well, that's a good question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What constitutes as a bad person, which is a lot of what we saw in the previous issue. Him making the determination of who he was going to kill, how he was going to kill them, why he was going to kill them. And this issue, of course, was a lot of the fallout from that. And then what was revealed about this person, which I guess is, you know, confirmed his thoughts as to this person should have died.
Mm-hmm.
And that consumes a lot of what's going on while he's trying to deal with his ongoing relationship with the girl of his dreams, who is dating his roommate.
Slash friend, I guess.
Right, slash friend, slash what have you. So he is dealing with the thoughts of whether or not he should tell her what's going on. And of course, he doesn't in this issue, but it certainly seems as though the seed has been planted here that at some point he's going to tell someone. And I think it is going to be her eventually.
I think she's going to find out instead of him telling her, because he talks about like how that would change everything. And the funny thing is, this is a book about a guy who maybe has to stay alive by killing people because a possibly slash maybe demonic force is forcing him to. When I find that the greatest part of this book is the triangle between the friends and the girl, like that is so like bizarre, but written well, like I could see happening in everyday life. And I don't know. I'm totally enamored with that storyline and I love it. And in this issue, we find out about Kira's background and it's a crazy background.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm like, this is one of those things that it's a completely different take on a crime book by Ed Brubaker. But once again, I'm loving different parts about it a lot. And, you know, like we say every time we talk about certain writers, I don't know if you know this, that Ed Brubaker can write.
Yeah, he does a good job. And I know you're most fascinated by that. And again, there's so much in this book. It's a crime thing. It's a gritty book. There's a love triangle. And there's also a mystery. I have to say the demonic stuff is a mystery only because we still don't know if the demonic stuff is real or if it's all in his head.
Mm-hmm. And I even like the way Brubaker writes it in the beginning. He's like, the last two times he's told things out of order. So he has the character like, if I do that again, then I have to do it every time. And it's just like exposing tricks of the writer in the narrative. I don't know. Like I said, he just knows what he's doing and he nails it on this.
So yeah, it's a really good book, and I know Brubaker lately has been taking to social media, Twitter, etc., you know, kind of saying like, hey, get me in touch with your retailers, let me know, because apparently not only the first print's selling out, but like the second and third prints are selling out as well. Apparently this book is doing very well, and I guess he's just trying to get a little bit better of an accounting on this for some reason.
Yep, and his episode of Westworld is this weekend. So he's riding that media train?
Oh, yeah, because I see he was interviewed somewhere about it. Like, it went live, like, over the weekend or something.
Right, so why not mention your kill or be killed? And I hope it works. Like, I hope it brings tons of people to his book. You know, he deserves it. And this isn't me just trying to push Westworld. It's, you know, I think it's cool that now, like, something like this, that this is a media, you know, darling right now in the first couple episodes, he gets the platform that he has to discuss his book. Even if for a minute, if he can get, you know, like X percent of the fans of Westworld to read his book, it's going to help him out.
And the other thing is just kind of as a side note with Westworld and social media and stuff, with his episode coming up, someone sent him a message like, oh man, I can't wait to talk to Brubaker when I see him or whatever, because I have a theory about what the finale is. And he goes, whether you do or don't, I can't answer because I signed an NDA that I can't talk about it.
They usually do.
Yep. So that's pretty funny. So the last book that we're going to discuss is The Clone Conspiracy Number 1, which is essentially, I guess, will be the going along miniseries to the next big Amazing Spider-Man story by Dan Slott. This has art by Jim Chung. The boilerplate, I guess, of this is that the Jackal has returned, Miles Warren, allegedly. I have a theory that it's not really him, just someone using the Jackal name. But anyway, he has perfected his cloning procedure in that he is not cloning people. He is essentially taking your DNA and making a new version of you that has all of your memories from that point, whenever it is that you died or whatever it is. And it's not a clone, it's an actual person. But again, I think he's lying, obviously, because he's a villain. But you just have to take this pill once a day. And this has been kind of the through line in some of the Amazing Spider-Man books over the last several months. There was someone who works for Parker Industries who was in an industrial accident, and Peter, in a pinch decision, decided to use this technique before he knew the Jackal was involved, and it starts setting off his spider senses, which is what sent him down that train. That same guy forgot to take his pill for a day, and then we find out what happens if you don't take the pill. J. Jonas Jameson's father, who was married to Aunt May, passed away, in part because Peter decided not to use this technique to save his life when everybody else wanted him to. And what the Jackal has been doing behind the scenes is he has been going back and bringing back to life, or recruiting, if you are a Spider-Man villain who was dead, he's bringing you back to life. If you are a Spider-Man villain who is trying to get out of the villain game, it's more than likely because someone close to you died. So he's bringing them back to life. And he tries to control J. Jonah Jameson in this way by bringing his dead wife back to life. But let's just say, in one of the most badass things ever, why J. Jonah Jameson is one of the best characters in comics, he is having none of the Jackal's nonsense. Yes. So, if you're a Spider-Man fan, if you like what Dan Slott's been doing in the book, you'll really enjoy this quite a bit. Now, this is going over into some of the other new Spider-Man books that are out. There's a Prowler book, some such other things. But I have a sinking suspicion, if you're reading the books that are written by Dan Slott and avoiding the ones that are not written by Dan Slott, I think you're going to be okay.
How do you feel that a person would be just reading the miniseries?
The first issue of it just came out this week, mm-hmm. and the first direct issue of Amazing Spider-Man comes out this week, so I'll be able to tell you next week for sure.
But not knowing anything about Spider-Man and what's going on in the book, do you think I'd be lost trying to read this?
It's tough for me to say. I'm going to say I don't think so. But I'm too close to Spider-Man to say. You know what I mean? I'm deep into Spider-Man, so I can't separate myself. There's not a part of me in my mind that I can create of a person who doesn't read Spider-Man, if that makes any sense.
I gotcha. I know the feeling with certain characters.
Right. But I would say, you know, give it a whirl. Why not? What do you got to lose? Okay. It's Spider-Man. He's the best character in comics.
I have $3.99 to lose.
Well, you look like a guy who reads comic books. That's nothing to you.
I do.
So that's what we've read from this past week. Let's get into what we're looking forward to coming out this week. If you head over to longboxheroes.com, every Tuesday evening around 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time or so, we put up the pull post, which is a link to all the books that are coming out this week. Whether you get your books in print, whether you get them digitally, whether you get them in trade, whether you get them mailed to your house, however it is that you get your books, know what's coming out, be forewarned, be forearmed, don't be left out in the cold, don't forget that something was coming out and then you gotta wait for a second print, or it never gets second printed and then, you know, you keep showing up and your retailer never gets it back in. Don't be that guy.
No.
So Todd and I have been attempting to guess what the other is most looking forward to coming out this week. It is close, with Todd with 26 correct guesses, me with 25 correct guesses. Let's see what we could do changing that up here today.
Right. I'm looking over your list, mm-hmm. and once again, it's a slightly bigger list than mine, mm-hmm. but I'm not envious. Is the book you are looking forward to most Infamous Iron Man number one?
It is Infamous Iron Man number one.
So famous he's infamous.
Right. Because I think the book that you're most looking forward to coming out this week is also Infamous Iron Man number one.
That's right. Spinning out of the exciting conclusion of Civil War II, the Infamous Iron Man number one.
I had Kevin Ford contact me asking me, he's like, what's up with this Infamous Iron Man number one? He goes, is this replacing Invincible? Is this replacing International? What's up? And I go, well, it's spinning out of the events of Civil War II. I go, I guess it's replacing International because Invincible is continuing with a new number one. And then he responded with a bunch of expletives.
Right. It's spinning out of, I'm pretty sure, International Iron Man, because at the end of that they said, find out what happens next in Infamous Iron Man. And I was like, oh, okay. And read Civil War II. And I was like, okay, I will if you put it out.
Well, in the most recent issue of, or whatever the most recent issue of Invincible Iron Man that was on the stands, that's when it starts kind of weaving in what's going on in International Iron Man,
mm-hmm.
where like Tony Stark's biological mother shows up, spoilers everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's there, I'm here to see Tony. And then the artificial intelligence is like, oh, you didn't hear? And then the last panel is, find out what happens to Tony in the latest issue of Civil War. And it's a month behind, so.
But it will all be out before December, the end of December.
Highly unlikely, Gorilla. Or Brain, what? Or whatever, whoever says that.
Okay.
I don't see that happening.
Could. It could.
Maybe not. So, while you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to click around and find all the other stuff that's going on, whether it be past episodes of this show, past episodes of Longbox Heroes After Dark, past pull posts, in case you're behind on your books and don't be that guy or gal, or past weekly questions, just to see what we've been up to in the past. The link will be coming down on how to sign up for the Pigskin Pick'ems here shortly, because we're better part. We're almost halfway into the season. If you're not getting your picks in by now, you're not going to get them in. I'm still kind of toward the bottom of the pile, and by me, I mean Asa, but he tied with Tom this week for 11 correct guesses.
That's right. He exploded on the field there.
I will say this. When we did record the segment of doing this week's picks, he was very excited to do so. He's getting excited to do his football picks.
At least you got them recorded. That's all that matters.
The second time we did.
Now, did he change his picks in the second one and help himself out?
Some of them.
So that you should mess up the first time every time.
Well, I don't want to tip my hand with what they were, but I'll say, like, the first time he picked two, like, teams that are like 1-5,
mm-hmm.
and he flipped them the second time that we recorded, but then like he made two other changes to like change his picks from like the obvious winner to the obvious whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't show him like the bar on the screen or whatever.
What?
No. You don't give him
the Vegas odds?
Nope, not at all.
Oh my goodness. You should totally give him the lines, the Vegas lines.
Yeah, I want to explain that. I go, well, you know, the Bengals are favored this week.
That's right. They're getting 7. Or they're given 7, and the VIG, you have to teach them young.
Now, see, if you do lightning bats.
Oh, boy. And then just have them listen to Norm Macdonald for a while.
Oh, my God. I heard some new, now, normal, side note here. We're going to get into Amazon and Weekly Question and TV Talk and all that sort of stuff. Norm claims not to be gambling anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But all of his comedian friends all tell these new stories, and I think he's gambling through them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy who's a fellow comedian, and I'm trying to... Gary Juskow, maybe his name is. I can't think of it right now off the top of my head. Where during the playoffs in the World Series for baseball, they only bet the first 5 innings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bet per inning.
Okay.
And he's like, I'm losing so much money, but it's so much fun.
That's a degenerate gambler.
That's right a degenerate there. Gambler.
Who bets on innings of baseball, man? Other than Pete Rose.
There is a story. So Artie Lang, Norm Macdonald, when they were joined at the hip for Norm's TV show back in like the late 90s, early 2000s, whenever that was. Artie has all these crazy Norm gambling stories from those days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, being at bars in Canada with Chevy Chase, betting, playing, like, games of 9-ball at, like, $500 a ball with him, stuff like that.
God.
But there's one in particular I mentioned about the lightning bets, where it's for basketball, and you take the under or the over for the total mm-hmm. score of the game between the two teams.
Right.
And for every point, you know, whether you take the under or the over... Whether you take, however many points
mm-hmm.
it goes over, that's $500 per point.
So you either lose 500 more or win 500 more.
Per point. Like, let's say the,
right.
like, let's just, you know, let's say the combined whatever is like 180, and then the score ends up being like 210, and you took the over. Well, for every point over, that's $500.
Wow, but if it's under...
The one time that they did it, it was on the lowest scored game in NBA history, and they took the over.
Oh my goodness.
I think Artie said that he lost $35,000.
Oh my god.
I laugh because I'm not a degenerate.
But But he said on a sports radio show that he freezes sports books. That doesn't sound like Norm freezes sports books.
Well, listen, when you gamble, you have up days and down days.
Oh, that sounds like it was a down day.
You ain't kidding, brother.
Ooh, now I have to stop all my bets before this weekend.
Yes. So while you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure also to check out the Amazon link across the top of the page. It's still not too late to get your costume for Halloween through Amazon. And if you have Prime, you could probably get that costume in 2 days or so.
I
was contacted by the person who purchased the Ewok costume last week for their little girl. And I do thank you for letting me know that you got that from us. We appreciate it.
Yay, Ewoks.
He is, and again, it's, I'm sure, Jesse, who is a longtime listener to the show, he said he has listened to every episode of every incarnation of both of these shows, whether it be Longbox Heroes or Weekly Longbox or After Dark, anything. He's listened to them all.
Wow. Oof, get that guy a trophy.
Mm-hmm. So notable purchases this week through the Amazon click-through was someone purchased, Todd, you said you need a new chair.
Maybe
it was you who purchased the Flash Furniture Hercules series Big and Tall Leather Swivel Task Chair.
I could use that, because I don't know if you know this, Leonard. I'm big and semi-tall.
I do think you may have been the person who purchased the complete series on DVD of Hey Vern, It's Ernest.
All right, now, spoiler alert, it wasn't me.
Right.
Because I already owned two copies.
Oh, my goodness. Two?
Two?
One for you to, whatever.
And one to cover it with.
Somebody on my Facebook feed mentioned about who would purchase the extended cut on Blu-ray of the new Ghostbusters movie.
Oh.
And I responded, I purchased two. One for me to this, and the other to cover it with. And it did not get the reaction I hoped it would.
That is a great quote.
That is a great quote. So thank you anyone who's purchased anything, big or small, through our Amazon click-through. It helps immensely. Also, while you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to check out our little button there that says Store. You could purchase the new black, white, and red version of the Tom Derenick-designed Longbox Heroes t-shirt. Or you could purchase that same design in full living color on a fancy sticker.
Ooh, stickers.
That's right. So go do those things. Help us out. Don't worry about iTunes reviews. That's a fool's game.
What?
Yes.
I'm telling you, they help in every way.
So, also while you're over there, be sure to check out our weekly question. 2016's theme is best blank, and this week was best spy or espionage character or story or character arc or what have you. And we did have a lot of interesting suggestions, whether it be left as comments on the site itself or through our Twitter. You know, Mark Cole, who is currently ailing, of course, he has some sort of infection in his ears and head and face or something, which means he won't be listening to the show. He said that his heart tells him it's the Steranko Nick Fury Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff. Longtime listener to the show, Stiff Peg Pete, mentioned Chameleon from the Legion of Superheroes stuff, which sadly I have not read. And a shout out to Daniel Silverstone or Silverthorn, my apologies. Daniel Silverthorn, DMG Silverthorn on Twitter, who mentioned the Spy vs. Spy comics from Mad Magazine.
Which is a excellent choice.
Absolutely. That's a great choice. That's an inspired outside of the box choice, and I doff my cap to you for that, sir.
Mm-hmm.
So I ask you, Todd, what is the best spy or espionage or similarly themed thing in comics?
I have to agree with certain listeners and say Nick Fury and S.H.I.E.L.D. By far, I think they have the biggest impact on comics, and some of that stuff that they did back in the old days, like the Steranko, and all the way to now, S.H.I.E.L.D. has had a foothold, and I don't think that there's anything that comes close to it anywhere else in comics.
Now, I will say this. In doing my research, I was shocked to see that there was so little of this in the DC universe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until more recently, seeing like a lot of their stuff like Argus and, you know, offshoots of Suicide Squad and all sorts of stuff like that. But there was a long period of time where there was just like nobody spying on nobody in the DC universe, except for like the Spy Master, but he was like a ninth rate Batman villain or something.
That's right. He was his master wasn't official.
Right.
You know, he didn't get it from like the spy college.
Now, as much as I would like to say the Nick Fury stuff, you know, whether it be the stuff from the 60s or anything current, I haven't read as much of that as I would like to have. Mm-hmm. So I am going to cop out and say Velvet. I love Velvet. Velvet is such a good comic book, and it's a beautiful looking book, and I know a lot of it kind of plays on some of, you know, the spy stuff that has come before it, whether it be from novels or whether it be from movies, whether it be from other comic books. That is my touchstone for any sort of spy or espionage stuff, the Ed Brubaker Velvet book. It's a book I recommend to everyone.
I'm surprised you didn't maybe mention, like, a Black Widow or something.
You know, it's, again, Black Widow's another one that I really haven't read as much of her stuff. You know, just now, more recently, I'm reading a lot more of it with, like, the Mark Waid, Chris Samnee book. But most of the Black Widow stuff that I read is less spy espionage and more, you know, her time in the Avengers, doing Avengery superhero-y stuff, or alongside characters like Daredevil, doing martial artsy stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm changing mine to the Edmondson, Phil Noto, which was total espionage because most of it was flashback stories.
Oh, there you go.
I'm calling an audible.
All right. You're allowed to. It's your show.
That's right. It's half my show, right. I heard.
51% your show.
That's right. We really have to get ownership rights on this. Like, figure it out. Like, what the percentages are.
Oh, boy. I bet if anyone just came along and wanted to do Longbox Heroes, there's nothing we could do to stop them.
We could. We could hire an assassin.
Yeah.
Yep, I know a few. Don't worry.
Okay. So our question next week, Todd,
mm-hmm.
since we are approaching Halloween and it's spooky time and all that sort of jazz, our best blank for next week is going to be Best Ghost Rider.
Hmm. And there have been a few.
There has been a few. Whether we're talking about the person who is actually riding with their head on fire, whether we're talking about a specific iteration or story arc or, you know, whatever you want to talk about, best version of Ghost Rider, best story of Ghost Rider, that's what we're going to be talking about here next week. And feel free to tweet that to us or leave it in the comments when the post goes up Thursday around noon Eastern time.
I smell a lot of Nick Cage answers.
Oh, boy. to quote, what's his face, Bill Maher, that's the dumb answer.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Nailed that. And you hate impressions, but you do them so well.
I hate impressions, and Bill Maher is the real world version of Jim Cornette when it comes to politics for me.
Oh my goodness.
He tries. He certainly tries.
Mm.
So, I think that covers the main part of the show for this week.
I think it does, too.
We're going to get into TV talk here, so if you don't care or didn't watch Legend of Tomorrow and or The Flash from this past week, we bid you adieu, and we will catch you all here next week. If not, we're just going to take like a 2-second break while we get into Flash and Legend of Tomorrow talk.
Okay.
All right. My notes were all over the place for this.
That's okay. So were we.
Yes. So let's get into Flash first, since that is the older of the two.
Mm-hmm.
So as we left Barry last week, the perfect world that he had created for himself as a Flashpoint was starting to fade. So he decided to come back, let Eobard free, and things in the real time, I guess, were not what they were cracked up to be. There was some new dude, Julian, or Julius something or other, who he was sharing an office with. Joe and Iris were not talking. Cisco wasn't talking to him. All sorts of stuff. And while this is going on, as we saw the teaser of last week's episode, Dr. Alchemy, apparently in our timeline, awoke Rival, who remembered everything from that other timeline that only Barry was in.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, when you travel through time and you mess up the timeline, the only way to fix it is to go back and do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, Jay Garrick was there to stop him from doing so.
That's right, and was much nicer about it than I would have been.
Yes.
Because if I was Jay, I would have slapped the taste out of his mouth. But Jay was like, all right, let's go watch some Dawson Creek and go to a diner and listen to some grunge and have some really good dinner.
Right, a little soul asylum to calm us down, sure.
That's right. I wonder how the B-Girl's doing in the new timeline.
Oh, man.
But as this went on, he's like explaining to him that you can't. And I was like, finally. Because as we talked about last week, there are no ramifications because I feel like every time you do it, it's a cheat when you change the timeline. Mm-hmm. And in this one, it was like they have to explain to you every once in a while because everything could have changed. So the rules could be like at one point they're like, hey, well, Cisco, remember, you weren't such a good person when you outed Barry to
Captain Cold.
Cold to save. And I'm like, okay, that still stands. If you didn't tell me that, I don't know where that is.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then it's like, oh, well, you know, now Dante's dead. And I'm like, well, anybody could die and come back to life. And it's not like, wow, somebody died or came back to life. It's like, oh, the timeline's changed. So it's perfectly fine to just have this. I don't know. But the whole thing of Jay going, you can't ever do this again and explaining it, I feel like it hit home to Barry. And Barry can't do it like on purpose. That doesn't mean it won't happen again. Like, he won't get flung back in the past and like, oh, I'm not going to do anything. Oh,
he won't willingly do it to fix something that he messed up.
Right, but it could happen and come back and it's like, oh, you know, like, I stepped on a plant and now everybody, Swamp Thing's mad at us.
If only. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple other things that happen in this episode, of course, and we'll kind of get into it. Introduction of new characters. You know, kind of, I guess Dr. Alchemy is going to be the through villain for this season, or at least for the better part of it. Now, I don't want to say that it was a complaint per se, but it certainly seems like the arrival of Rival and the resolution to him seemed to be done very quickly.
I'm hoping they didn't kill him.
Right.
Because I just don't want, like, oh, like every speedster that we come up against, just kill him. You know what I mean? Right. Like, so I'm hoping that he's still around because I think he has potential, but we'll have to see.
So what did you think of this episode? I really liked it. I want to just throw that out there first.
I really did like it, too. I think it's going somewhere. I want to see. I hope Dr. Alchemy is the overarching villain. I hope it's not another speedster at some point or whatever. But I'm curious to see. There's some things going on with the four husks, and one of them is Rival. So I want to see
who the other from that other timeline are.
Right, and what happens. And I'm interested in the Killer Frost storyline that seems to be happening.
Yes, we do get a little tease of that, where obviously Caitlin Snow has been keeping it secret from everyone that mm-hmm. she has these powers.
And I can't wait to find out why she gets freaked out by the word optometrist.
Because mm-hmm.
it seems like she got freaked out that she was an optometrist in the other timeline.
Oh, well, again, I have no theories on that, but I do have another theory, and please hear me out on this one.
Okay.
Okay. So, the villain of this season, at the very least, who is going to be revealed as Dr. Alchemy, is going to be Julian Albert.
Okay.
Because, whilst they are not going to be doing time travel anymore, this season is where the Flash TV show crosses over with the Harry Potter universe.
Okay.
As you may know, the actor who plays Julian Albert is Draco Malfoy, the little Weasley rat evil kid from the Harry Potter books and movies. Dr. Alchemy and the other people that was in that little seance thing with him are obviously Dementors from one of the Harry Potter movies. So mm-hmm. that's what this is all leading to. And it all makes sense. Barry is Harry Potter. Caitlin Snow is Hermione, and Cisco is Ron Weasley. It all makes sense, Todd. That's what they're doing this season. They're turning the Flash into a backdoor pilot for a Harry Potter TV show.
So who's the Euro-Wizard Harry guy?
That would be Joe. Joe could be Euro-Wizard Harry guy. Dr. Wells will be Dumbledore.
See,
this all makes sense to me, Todd.
It does. How much do you know about Dr. Alchemy?
Not as much as I should, because most of the stories that he showed up in during my time reading The Flash weren't the best.
Gotcha. Because I didn't know if you're... When you said Dr. Alchemy
was...
Well, I know
he has the Philosopher's Stone, and I know it can, like, transmutate objects and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a thing that he does?
Yes, and I just wanted to know how much you know about his family. That's why I'll keep it a secret. All right. I'm not going to say anything. But if you're a Flash fan, you know a little bit about Dr. Alchemy, and I think the guy from that's working with Barry isn't Dr. Alchemy, but he knows Dr. Alchemy.
Aha, uh-huh. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I say he'll be Dr. Alchemy.
Okay.
So I liked it. Flash is good. Flash is always good. You know, we're in the middle, you know, we're two episodes into season three, and, you know, from the previous two seasons, I can think of maybe two episodes that were not good.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, this is a show that's crossing over, because now that season two is on Netflix, more and more people are watching it. Even the little neighbor boy, who came to Ace's birthday this past week, he had asked me about The Flash, because he's like, hey, have you ever heard of this show Flash on Netflix?
Oh, boy. Sit down, son.
Loaded question.
Let Uncle Joe tell you some stories.
But he's 11 years old, and he really likes the show. So It's crossing over. And he's a normal kid. He's not a goofball or a comic book reader, or looks like a comic book reader like me and Todd do.
Oh, boy. I even heard bad kids like it, too.
Oh, bad kids?
I think Icky liked it, I heard.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Have we gotten an Icky update?
No, we haven't. I need to get an Icky update.
So, Flash, good. Legends of Tomorrow season premiere happened this past week as well. We're kind of at a bit of a makeshift team of people, of course. You know, Hawkgirl, Hawkman are dead.
No, they're not.
Yeah, aren't they dead?
No, they left at the end of season
right.
one
Captain
to
Cold
go do
dead.
Their... Yes. Oh, my God. Do you even watch these shows?
I do. I think that was wishful thinking that I wanted the Hawk people dead.
Ugh.
The crew is still out trying to fix time anomalies and things of that nature. As we saw at the end of season one, our man showed up and essentially told them, we find out, don't go to 1942. And, of course... One of their time anomalies come up, 1942. It turns out that the Nazis have gotten somehow information to make an atomic bomb. And
not
they're
a nuclear.
Going to blow up New York City.
That's right. And that's years before we've developed the bomb in real life. So
right. And all of this is being told to us in flashbacks as Heatwave was kept in stasis. While the rest of the crew was sent through various parts of time, and we get them telling the story to, Arrow, Stephen Amell, and a new character on the show. Is that Nate Haywood?
I think so, who's a time historian.
A time historian currently. Now, where he is going to maybe possibly end up, line up with his DC Comics counterpart, we shall see. What did you think of this episode? What did you think of the return? What are your thoughts?
I had a lot of fun with this episode. It was one of the endings was spoiled on me because of the fancy gentleman posted on Facebook before I got to watch it. Cause I watched it after we recorded, and it was like, he put up the fancy reverse Flash jacket. Did you see that?
Yes.
And it's a fantastic jacket. I want one because I think nothing looks better on a man like me than like bright yellow. But so he put that up and he's like, whether or not you're, you know, messing with the timeline or chilling on a U-boat. And I'm like, oh, well, I guess he shows up at the end of this episode. But then I was like, okay, I would have marked out for that, as the kids say. But then I was like, okay, well, the episode's over. And then, bam, the JSA shows up. And I lose my mind. I'm like, I never thought I would see anything like this on TV in my life, and I can't wait to see some JSA stuff, because it's fantastic.
Right, and this is one of those episodes, of course, you know, where it's revealed now that Damian Dark is working with Eobard Thawne. So that's why I think we're not going to see a speedster as the villain in Flash, because we're going to get our speedster villain fix in Legends of Tomorrow.
Mm, I agree too. Mm-hmm. Well, I think, I don't know. We'll see, because there are many, many, and now with Godspeed running around the new books, you got to probably wedge him into the Flash stories. But we'll see. And it was funny, because somebody was tearing the episode apart to me a little bits, like, the fact that, like, Ray Palmer's suit is just shut down by radiation. It's like the future tech and stuff like that. There was a few things that I found amusing, but overall, I like it. And I don't think White Canary's wanting to kill Damian Dark is going to affect their missions at all throughout this season.
Right, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but I enjoyed it.
I really liked it as much as I liked the episode. And again, you know, getting used to the new dynamic on the team and the way that they kind of lay everything out of like, oh, well, you know, this is another one where it's like, oh, well, here's what the theme for a part of the season is going to be. We're going to go and try to find the other members of the team as they're strewn about the timeline. It's like, no, we're just going to scoop them all up in like 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm. But where is Rip? He's missing.
Right, so Rip is the only one missing, and as they're getting ready to go to see them, go to find him, as Todd mentions, the JSA shows up. And I tell you, no bigger markout moment for me watching that. It's like, hey, remember when the JSA was on Smallville a couple years ago and it was a big deal? Like, I don't know why this now is, like, 100 times bigger. Because I feel as though it's not going to be, like, a one-off. I think, like, they're going to be around for, like, most of this season.
I think because it's part of a bigger world now,
right,
where Smallville was all prequel stuff. It was like, oh, well, we're never going to see Superman, so it really doesn't matter. Where now it's like, I'm watching characters show up on TV shows that I never thought I would see show up. And it's like, and they're going to be major characters.
Yeah.
It's not just, I don't know. So I'm really enjoying it, and I can't wait to see, like, where we go.
Yes. Legend of Tomorrow's off to a great start.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it, I think, right?
I think so, too. I don't think we have anything else to say.
I didn't forget nothing, did I? As I am wont
to. No.
You
would never forget anything.
I forget all sorts of stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
For Todd, this is Joe, closing out episode 316 of Long Box Heroes, and we will catch you all here next week.
Remember, be a faucet, not a drain.
Boop! All right, so we had some technical difficulties. But again, it's week 11.
Let's just get back to that Cletus.
Oh, you want the song to play too?
Yes.
Okay. He likes the song. There we go. He can hear it. You guys can hear it all the time. So he had 11 correct picks last week, which tied Tom for the most picks. Mm-hmm. Let's do it again. Mm-hmm. So, who would win? A bear or a packer?
Bear!
Who would win? A giant or a ram?
Giant.
A buffalo or a dolphin?
Both.
A bulldog or a tiger?
Bull.
A bulldog?
Bulldog.
Okay. A redskin or a lion?
Lion.
A colt or a titan?
Colt.
A saint or a chief?
Chief.
A raider or a jaguar?
Raider.
A viking or an eagle?
Viking.
A raven or a jet? A charger or a falcon?
Charger!
A buccaneer or a 49er?
49er!
A patriot or a steeler?
Steeler.
A seahawk or a cardinal? And last, a Texan, it's like a bull, or a bronco?
Bronco.
All right, so there's our picks. Asa, anything else you want to say to everybody?
I'm playing Cletus.
Right. That's one of the Monster Truck songs. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.